Well, let's turn now to one of the world's leading epidemiologists for more on the pandemic. Dr. Michael Osterholm is director of the Center for Infectious Disease Research and Policy at the University of Minnesota. Doctor, welcome back.
Thank you very much.
Well, in 9 states reported either new single-day highs or set a record for 7-day new coronavirus case averages yesterday. What worries you most about the rise in cases we're seeing in many states, especially across the South and the West in the U.S. right now?
Well, I think this is a moment for great humility among epidemiologists and public health officials, because quite honestly, we don't know what's going on. We have 21 areas that are actually seeing case increases. We have 9 that are relatively flat for the last 14 days, and we have 21 that are seeing substantial decreases in cases. And all of them have been going through the same kinds of relaxation, of restrictions on movements, reopening the economy. And we're trying to understand exactly what's going on, but we don't.
Well, if we don't understand it, then what should we be doing to make sure that we don't have a substantial second wave?
Well, first of all, let me back up and say this whole wave issue has been very confused. We're still in, I believe, the first wave, which we're seeing this overlap of cases in different geographic areas at different times, but this has not gone away. And so in a sense, this is all still first wave activity. But the question you're asking is a really good one. When we are seeing the kinds of case increases that are happening in places like Florida, in Texas, in North Carolina, we can't ignore that. I don't know how local public health officials and government officials can't try to reduce the number of people who are having close contact in public spaces to reduce that activity. Because right now, some of these intensive care wards in hospitals in those areas are literally at the point of almost overflowing with cases. So the challenge we have is if you're in one area where it's really hot right now, yes, you need to be doing a lot, right, to reduce the potential for new cases. But if you're in an area where cases have been decreasing consistently for the last 2 to 3 weeks, what do you tell the people there? We know that one size fits all isn't going to work in this country.
Well, and some of the information that is coming sounds like what you're saying. And then there is the White House, and there's going to be a Trump rally, a big indoor Trump rally this week in Oklahoma, which is already seeing a spike in cases. The Vice President, Mike Pence, published an op-ed in the Wall Street Journal saying there isn't a coronavirus second wave. The media has tried to scare the American people every step of the way. What's your response to that? Because the message from the White House is very different right now from what you're saying.
Well, first of all, let's just dispense with that first and second wave issue. We're in the first wave. It's serious. It's an important issue in places like Oklahoma. Across the board, we have to understand that areas where we're seeing cases increase, large indoor activities doesn't make any kind of public health sense. I think it's a real challenge in terms of what we might see for cases 2 to 3 weeks later.
What about the issue of wearing masks? There was a study published this week by a team of researchers at Texas A&M University that found face masks dramatically reduce the number of infections. The authors also said other mitigation efforts, including social distancing, are insufficient by themselves, but that masks are very important. Would you say that people can feel pretty safe if they're out wearing a mask in public?
At this point, we have to be really clear about also what we know about masks and what we don't know. I recommend wearing them. I wear one myself, but we have to be really clear. The data on how effective they are is still lacking. And what I'm talking about are face coverings. Many of the studies that have come out recently have been modeling studies that have been frankly deficient, just as the Texas A&M study is. We need data on how effective these face cloth coverings are in both preventing transmission and also from becoming infected yourself. And so at this point, I recommend them. I think we should use them. But we have to tell the public that the number 1, 2, and 3 things you can do to protect yourself are distance, distance, and distance. And do not rely on a cloth face covering to protect you or to keep you from transmitting to others.
How much of this country do you think has already been infected with the coronavirus?
The best serologic data we have, meaning studies of antibody presence in the population, would support that between 5 to 7% of the country has been infected. And that's not different than we're seeing around the world. Studies that are coming out of Europe right now, even Asia, even Wuhan, China, we find about 3.5% of people infected there. So I think it's fair to say that, you know, at best, we're at 5 to 7%. There's a long, long ways from getting to 60 or 70% that would be required to develop what we call herd immunity and slow down transmission.
Are you optimistic that there's going to be a vaccine in short order? The vice president seems to think it could come by the fall.
I do not have any sense that there will be a vaccine yet this year that will be both shown to be effective and safe and available to the public. Even having a vaccine sometime next year, I think, would be considered a modern medical miracle. So we have to plan as if we're going to get through this year as if we don't have a vaccine.
I finally want to ask you, it seems like we learn something new about this virus every day. What are you learning about COVID-19 that surprises you or that you think is critical to understanding why it has been so damaging?
Well, I can't say that this is a surprising issue, but what I can say is that the lack of understanding of what's happening right now with case transmission in just one country, the United States, is a challenge. You know, we as public health epidemiologists, people who have spent our whole lives being infectious disease medical detectives, would like to think that we could give the public much more certainty, and we can't. We don't understand why we see 20 states with cases increasing, 20 with them decreasing. What's going on? We don't understand this. I think we all in the public health world have to have real humility right now and just admit we don't understand exactly what's happening, and that we'll do our very best to figure it out, to understand it, and to make recommendations about what we need to do to move forward with this pandemic.
That is Dr. Michael Osterholm, who's director of the Center for Infectious Disease Research and Policy at the University of Minnesota. Doctor, thank you so much as always.
Thank you.
Always hard to go to somebody who is supposed to know everything about the coronavirus, and then they tell us that none of us really know that much about it at all. It's here and now.